Good to see everyone here tonight. Thank you so much for being here. This is my first time back in over 3 months. I have been across the way for the last 3 months leading an Experiencing God group, and some of my group members are actually in here tonight. Wonderful group of people that I had the joy of sharing with, but we had a wonderful time. It's good to be back, though. I have certainly missed you, and I'm looking around. I see some new faces in here. That's very, very encouraging. Praise the Lord for that. We welcome you. And I love Wednesday nights. I've shared that with you many times. I love being here, and as Brother Brady prayed a moment ago, we come to gather before the Lord and to honor Him and to worship Him. And thank you for making Wednesday nights a priority in your lives. That means so much. And thank you for making prayer a priority in your life as well. So I'm so excited that you're here. If you would, please open your Bible with me to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. We'll be taking a look together tonight at this amazing text by the prophet Isaiah. And the title of the message tonight is centered around the gift of Jesus. And this is the Christmas season, obviously. And listen, we're only, 15 days away from Christmas? That's hard to believe. I remember standing up here several months ago saying, man, we're 60 days from Christmas. And thinking, man, that's a long way off. So here we are 15 days away. And so it's hard to believe that time gets by so quickly. But, you know, there's just something unique about Christmas because we are celebrating the birthday of a king. Not just anybody. We're talking about the King of Kings. And, you know, one of my favorite Christmas songs is Mary, Did You Know? And Brother Mark has sung that for us. I know he sung it for us the other night. And it always blesses me when he sings it. He reminds me of Mark Lowry when he sings it. Y'all think that too? Whenever he sings that, I think of Mark Lowry, but he does a great job with it. But I always love to hear the song. And, you know, the lyrics of that song are incredibly powerful. And I want to read to you the opening lyrics of Mary, Did You Know? And it goes this way. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? That sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. Amen? So the question of the hour is, did Mary know? Yes, she did. She did know. Gabriel told her back in Luke chapter 1, but whether she was able to process what she heard is another matter. I mean, when's the last time you've had an angel come appear before you and lay a bombshell announcement on you like Mary got that day? And so I can only imagine what must have been going through her mind to see this angel and to receive such news as she did that day. So the question is not, did she know it? The question for us tonight is, do we know it? And do we know the gift of Jesus? Have we lost the wonder, the awesomeness of this time of the year as we celebrate the birthday of the King? Listen, Christmas joy is not found online. It's not found on the back of a semi. Christmas joy is not found in a Christmas tree. Christmas joy is not found in a liquor bottle. Christmas joy is found in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You know, tonight I want us to consider tonight the greatest gift of all, the gift of Jesus. And my goal tonight is to just really encourage you. I want you to leave here tonight refocused and re-challenged to consider the awesomeness of this baby that was born some 2,000 years ago. You know, we can often approach Christmas and it's just a tired old song for many of us. We've heard it and we've heard it and we've heard it, and yet we've lost the wonder and the mystique of what Christmas is really all about. And so tonight I pray that God will refresh our hearts with the truth of the gift of Jesus. And so first of all, I want us to think tonight about the promise of the gift. Now in Isaiah 9, Isaiah predicted that someday the nation of Israel would prosper and be delivered forever from her oppressors. And so without a doubt, this is one of the most exciting prophecies in the Bible because it points to a coming Messiah. And sadly, many Orthodox Jews are still looking for their Messiah. But to us who know Christ today as Christians, we know him as Jesus Christ. You know, I love the description of the Messiah that Isaiah reveals to us in verse 6. Listen to what he writes. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. You know, in this one long verse, Isaiah reveals some amazing characteristics of the Messiah. First of all, Isaiah says that Christ was born unto us. You know, this simple statement points to his humanity. He was born. He was a human, just like everyone else. He was not some spook or some phantom person, as Gnostics have tried to make him out to be. But notice also that the text says that he was born to who? He was born to us. He's born for you. He was born for me. And so he was born to redeem people all over the globe. And that's why we put such an emphasis on international missions and why we encourage our churches to give and to sacrifice toward mission causes. And we pray for people to get up and go and take the gospel to the other parts of the world. Why? It's because Christ came for them as well. God has an entire world upon his heart. It's not his will that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus came for people of every nation, tribe, and tongue. So he is literally God's gift to us. So Christ was born to us, but secondly, he will govern from the throne of David. He will govern from the throne of David. Now, he will bear all the responsibility of ruling the nations as King of Kings. You know, this points us to the kingdom age, which is still yet to come. God had promised David that his dynasty and throne would be established forever, and this is literally fulfilled in Jesus himself. Now, the next event on God's prophetic calendar, as you know, is what? The rapture of the church. And that could happen at any time. And we could be raptured out of this world. And even before the lights are turned out tonight, we could be ushered out of here and we will be with the Lord. But you know, the next event on God's calendar is the rapture of the church. And it's followed by 7 years of tribulation, concluding by the Battle of Armageddon. Now, the enemies of Christ will be destroyed. And Christ then will reign for 1,000 years over Israel and all the world. And so Hamas, Hezbollah, and all these other thug terrorists will be gone. They will be gone. Satan will be bound, but will mount one final battle, but it will be futile. He will be crushed, and then the new heaven and new earth will be ushered in as Christ rules and reigns on the throne of David. Now, I realize the news today appears gloomy, but cheer up, church. We win. Isn't that great news? So, thirdly tonight, we see that Isaiah refers to the Messiah as Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. Now, I understand that the King James Version places a comma between those two words. And it almost creates the idea that it's two distinct phrases referring to the Messiah. Now, whether there's a comma there or not, both words are true. He is wonderful and he is counselor, and he's also Wonderful Counselor. Amen. And so he wants us to understand that this Messiah is wonderful. Now listen to me. The word wonderful carries with it the idea of something far beyond great. The word wonderful implies astonishing. It implies stunning. The word wonderful implies breathtaking. Have you ever had your breath taken away at some beautiful sight? This Messiah is breathtaking. The word I like for the Messiah is awesome. Awesome. And listen, we use that word a lot anymore. And in our culture, everything is awesome. Grandma's cookies are awesome. But I'm here to tell you, listen, only Jesus is awesome. Grandma's cookies may be the bomb, but they are not awesome. Only Jesus is awesome. Can I get a witness? Only Jesus is awesome. And so we look to the Messiah as the awesome ruler of the universe. He is also counselor. You know, that implies the idea that he has the wisdom and authority to guide us and to direct us through every storm of life. We all have storms, do we not? And we all need someone to come alongside us and to guide us and to counsel us, to shepherd us through the storms and difficulties of life. There's none greater, none better, none superior than the Lord Jesus, who is the wonderful counselor. He will never lead you astray. His words are laser precise. And wherever he leads you is always right. So what makes him wonderful counselor? Let me give you some thoughts. First of all, he's always available. Anytime, day or night. He is always available. Dr. Jesus is always on the job. He does not keep office hours. Remember the Peanuts cartoon where Lucy is behind her counselor desk and she's got the doctor is in or out? Well, Jesus is always in, and he doesn't charge a nickel for his services. He invites us to come. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I might give you rest." Is that what he said? No. He said, "I will give you rest." Is rest what you need tonight? Do you need peace? Are you in the midst of a storm, a struggle, a trial? Is your heart heavy tonight? Oh, my friend, I invite you to come to the wonderful counselor and cast your cares upon him, because he does indeed care for you. He is wonderful counselor, and he is always available. But secondly, I'm here to tell you, he is always trustworthy. He will never turn you away. He will never reject you. He will never look at you and say, "Man, you really blew it this time, Richard. Boy, you ought to be ashamed of yourself." He will never turn you away. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." We can have our sins forgiven, but we must come to him and confess them and turn from them, and we can be cleansed and know the joy of a cleansed heart. Friends, I'm here to tell you tonight that our wonderful counselor is trustworthy. But he is always right. His counsel is always right. Listen, he will never mislead you. He will never lead you out on a limb and saw it off behind you. But whatever he leads you to do, you must obey. If you want his favor, his blessing upon your life, there must be obedience. His counsel is always right. But fourthly tonight, Isaiah refers to the Messiah as Mighty God. Mighty God. What kind of God is he? Mighty. He is Mighty God. He has the power and authority to fulfill his plans. No king or principality or power can match him. No one can vanquish him. He is infinitely powerful. There is no difficulty that you or I will ever face that he cannot handle. Friends, his resume qualifies him to be called Mighty God. And what a great resume he has. Listen, he has the power to create. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. You know what he did? He spoke and all things came into existence. He needed no one's help. There was no instruction manual. He didn't have a trade school to go to learn how to do it. No, our God spoke because he is Mighty God. And by speaking, all things came into existence. But secondly, he has the power to save. The power to save. Listen, I love the message of the angel who addressed the shepherds in Luke 2:11. The angel said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who was Christ the Lord. He is able to save from guttermost to uttermost. He is able to save. I'm so thankful for that, aren't you? I don't care who you are, what you are, what you've done, how messed up you are, how far away from God you think you are. He loves you and he can save you. He can transform you from the inside out. And many of you could come up here tonight and share amazing testimonies of how God redeemed you by his grace. And thank God for that. Thank God for your testimony. Listen, never be ashamed of what Jesus has done for you, but be quick to share of the saving grace of Jesus. I was talking to a man today. He pastors a church up in South Carolina where I used to be many years ago. He said, just this past week, he led two men to Jesus in his church. And already one of them has already shared his testimony with over 40 people. He was so fired up about being saved and having his sins forgiven. The wonder of salvation just consumed him. He couldn't help but go and tell people about Jesus. That's what you and I need to be doing. Amen. Friends, when Jesus gets a hold of your heart, you can't help but go and tell others of what he's done for you. He has the power to save. But thirdly, I want to say to you, he has the power to resurrect. The power to resurrect. Jesus said in John 11:25-26, I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Never die. And then Jesus asks the question, do you believe this? Friends, how you choose to answer that question has eternal ramifications. I'm here to tell you tonight that Jesus is alive. And I'm here to tell you tonight that Jesus is still able to make dead men alive today. He's still rolling stones. He brings life from death. Listen, the grave cannot hold the child of God. You know why? Because Jesus knocked death's teeth out when he rose from the dead. And I'm here to tell you that death has been defeated. And because death is defeated, we can look to our Messiah, our Lord Jesus, and acknowledge that he is Mighty God. Amen? So he has the power to create, the power to save, the power to resurrect. But listen tonight, he also has the power to judge. He has the power to judge. You know, Paul writes in 2 Timothy 4:1, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. You know where Paul was when he penned these words? He was sitting in a Roman prison cell. A Roman prison cell. What was his crime? Preaching the gospel of Jesus. And no doubt Paul was looking around him in his cold and clammy prison cell and looking at his shackles and thinking to himself, the Lord will indeed have the last word. Every injustice will be made right. And one day every person who has ever breathed the breath of life will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and he will judge them in perfect righteousness. Oh yes, friends. Jesus is going to make everything right. Everything. Why? It's because he can. He has the authority to do so. Because he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He can judge all men because he is mighty God. This little baby will one day return, not to a sleepy town in Bethlehem, not to a lowly manger. He will return as King of kings and he will assume his rightful place on the throne in the New Jerusalem. Friends, that day is coming. And that's why we call him Mighty God. Mighty God. So a fifth title Isaiah reveals is that our Messiah is our everlasting Father. Everlasting Father. You know, he has no beginning and he has no end. This points to the Son's role as both protector and provider. He is our Father. He always provides for his own. He is Father to the fatherless. And this speaks of his intimate care for you and for me. Some of you may remember me sharing that I was adopted as a baby. Never knew my biological father. I met my biological mother very late in life. My biological mother, when I met her, told me that from the day she left me in the orphanage, when I was just a baby, she said she prayed for me every day that God would do something special in my life. And I'm here to tell you, I believe I'm standing here before you tonight because of a praying mama that would never know her son until very, very late in life. As I said, I never met my biological father. I understand he had some real issues in his life. But I was adopted into a wonderful family. I was adopted by a wonderful father and mother who took me in and loved me like their very own. You know, I'm forever grateful for my father. He passed away back in 2009. I can no longer speak to him anymore. I miss him every day. But here's the deal. At age 13, I was adopted into the family of my Heavenly Father. He is my Father. And I can come to him anytime, day or night, and just tell him how I love him. I can tell him all about my day. I can tell him all about my struggles and my trials and have absolute confidence that he is listening to me and that he cares about every detail of my life. My friend, that is our eternal Father. He is your Father as well. And he loves you so. He loves you. Yesterday, Brother Tom Pilcher and I made a visit to a home. It was a family that was in need. And so we went by to visit with them. It was a mother and her daughter that lived in the home. The father wasn't much of an example at all. Horrible, to put it that way. Horrible. But the mother described for us what it was like to live in that home. Literally, hell on earth. And I looked at that young lady. She was a senior in high school. And I looked on one of the walls in the house. She had all kinds of rewards or awards from her school days and all kinds of things that she had won, honors. She was a wonderful student through school. And then I heard her say, my dad never cared about any of that stuff. Never cared. I left that home yesterday, my heart hurt for her. No little girl should grow up in that kind of environment. But here's the deal, y'all. Our Heavenly Father will never treat you that way. Your Heavenly Father loves you. He cares about every detail of your life, and He invites you to come to Him. He loves to hear from you. He loves to pour into your life. He loves spending time with you. Your Heavenly Father is an everlasting Father. But number six, Isaiah refers to the Messiah as the Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. You know, Jesus brings about spiritual peace between God and man. And that happens when we place our faith and trust in Him. And He will also bring about social and political peace in this sin-cursed world. You know, today we have nations warring against other nations. There's turmoil everywhere. I think of the Middle East. I think of Israel. I think of what's going on in Ukraine and Russia. Turmoil all over the place. And there's peace deals being cut. There's been many, many peace deals that have been cut through the centuries. Yet none of them have lasted. There's been a violation of the peace accords. But friends, I'm here to tell you, when Jesus comes, there will be lasting peace. Why? It's because He is the Prince of Peace. And it's because He will rule with a rod of iron. And what He says goes. Amen? And all the nations that will be gathered before Him will be submitted to His lordship. Listen, one day all swords will be beaten into plowshares, and we will know war no more. You know, verse 7 picks up again at on the same theme of His government. Verse 7 says, there will be no end to the increase of His government or of peace or the throne of David and over His kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of armies will accomplish this. You know, there's something very unique about His government. There's no end to it. No end to it. There will be no impeachment hearings. Amen. There will be no resignations. There are no elections. There will be no competition with the Lord Jesus. Jesus will reign in perfect peace. And you know, He will reign on David's throne. And for Him to be qualified to reign on David's throne, He must be a Jew and He must be a descendant of David. And so Jesus perfectly fulfills both. But what is going to happen in His kingdom? It is going to be established with justice and with righteousness. He will have perfect knowledge of every situation. He will be in absolute control. He will be the earth's final king. So I'm ready to tell you tonight that the best is still yet to come. The best is yet to come. So how do we know that all these things are going to happen? Well, Isaiah answers that question in verse 7. He said, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And so God will be passionately involved in making these promises a reality. God is at work even today, working to bring all history to a close to the perfect conclusion of His will. Everything will fall into place, and Jesus will be in control. So let's fast forward 700 years and consider Matthew's account of the birth of Christ. Let's look at the arrival of the gift. Matthew chapter 1. Our text says, now the birth of Jesus the Messiah was as follows. when his mother, Mary, had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, since he was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had thought this over, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet would be fulfilled. Behold, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. Now, Matthew had no difficulty at all identifying the child of Isaiah chapter 9. He knew that he was the promised Messiah, and he wanted his Jewish readers to understand that. Now, Matthew began his gospel by presenting Jesus' genealogy. Now, obviously, this was critical to making his case to unbelieving Jews that Jesus was indeed the promised Messiah. And so his ancestry could be traced all the way back to Abraham, and who was the father of the Jewish race, and also to David, from whom whose line the Messiah would come. Now, in verses 18 and 19, we're introduced to a big problem. And what's the problem? The problem is Mary is pregnant out of wedlock. So how does Joseph respond to the bombshell news of her pregnancy? Well, he could have made things very hard for her and have her stoned to death, and could have by Mosaic law, but because he loved her, he wanted to spare her of public disgrace. And in those days, couples were pledged to be married. And so this is an interim period before the actual wedding itself. And so during this interim period, a couple could live together or have sexual relations. A divorce was the only way the engagement could be broken because the pledge was legally binding. So this text tells me that when God wants to do something in our lives, listen, it's going to require faith and action. When God speaks and gives us instructions, we need to believe him. We need to trust in him. And that's exactly what both Mary and Joseph did. God sent an angel to Joseph in a dream to explain to him what God was about to do. Isn't that awesome? God sent an angel to explain to Joseph what he was about to do. And so just as God gave help to Joseph, he will give you and I help in our times of need. And friends, we can trust him with whatever is going on in our lives. Now, look at verse 24. How did Joseph respond? He acted on God's message. He acted in faith. He believed the Lord, and he did exactly what God told him to do. And so, what are the names given to the baby? Emmanuel and Jesus. And so the name Emmanuel should ring some bells for us tonight. That is a direct quote from Isaiah 7:14. And Matthew had no problem at all connecting the prophecy of Isaiah 7:14 with this little baby. And so without a doubt, this little child was Isaiah's Emmanuel. And so the name means God with us. And he was literally God in the flesh. And God's promise from 700 years earlier had finally become a reality. And so the other name is Jesus. And the name is a Greek derivative of the Hebrew name Joshua, which means Yahweh is salvation. And so the name Jesus means what? Savior. So Jesus is the Savior. This is an appropriate name because the Bible says he will save his people from their sins. So he is the Savior. So how significant is the name of Jesus? the New Testament gives us some clues. First of all, there is salvation in His name. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." So there is salvation in His name. But secondly, there is glory and honor in His name. Philippians 2, verse 9 says, "Therefore God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." But there's also healing in His name. Acts 4:10 says, "Then know this, that you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you today healed." In the Old Testament, He is Jehovah Rapha, which means the Lord our healer. Listen, the Messiah is our healer. There is healing in His name. But lastly, there is victory in His name. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, the text says, "But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Friends, what a gift we have in Jesus. Amen? Jesus is a gift. What a Savior. Jesus is indeed the name above all names. No other name parallels with Jesus. His name is above all names. And we gather tonight to worship Him. I had a third point for us tonight, but we are flat out of time. And many of you need to get to choir practice. I don't want Mark to be mad with me, but listen. I do want to say this to you. Many years ago, composer Phillips Brooks penned the words to a poem that later became affectionately known as "O Little Town of Bethlehem." We all know that hymn very well. But you know, one of the stanzas has been my favorite that I wanted to share with you. It says this: "O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today." You know, the question tonight is, has the Christ child been born in you? Have you made room in your heart for Him? I would suspect in a room like this tonight on a Wednesday night, most of us, if not all of us, are Christians and we know Christ. But maybe it could be tonight that you're here tonight and over the years of hearing the theme of Christmas over and over and over and over, you've lost the wonder of it, the awesomeness of it. And maybe tonight, just by simply considering the wonder and awesomeness of the name of Jesus Christ should motivate you to want to worship Him all the more. It's my prayer that this Christmas will be so special for you because you have fallen in love, deeper in love, with the Lord Jesus. And you reflect upon why He came into this world. And that's to save us from our sins and give us eternal life. Amen? Let's pray together. Lord, thank You for Your word tonight. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for coming into this world to rescue us. We thank You that we have a message to proclaim to a lost world. And Father, I pray that this Christmas will just be especially sweet. And God, that we will just be in awe of who You are and what You've done for us. And Lord, I pray that tonight You will dismiss us with Your favor. And we'll thank You, Lord, for all that You do. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night.